Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome to another podcast, friends. Thank you again, as always. I mean it, for your prayers and for sharing these episodes. I've got my favorite, absolute favorite brother from Australia with us back today, Pastor Dean Dwyer from Iser Street Baptist Church. Brother, so good to see you again. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the introduction, David. Always happy to be your favorite Australian. So it's a tag that I'll try and live up to during these next 30 minutes.
And you can find more about Dean over on harbingersdaily.com. He's got an author page there, harbingersdaily.com. And also the website for the church, iserstreetbaptistchurch.com, E-I-S-E-R, streetbaptistchurch.com. You also find him and his sermons on YouTube under iserstreetbaptistchurch.com. So, Dean, the topic today, interesting. This was your suggestion, and I love it. We've talked about Australia before and America and Barna research and the spiritual declines, but we're going to talk a little bit more about the shifting spiritual landscape, right? We'll call it declining, and the occult in Australia. But it's not a whole lot different than America. Maybe we can, I get your take on that. Who kind of is ahead of the game when it comes to the decline? But where do you want to start? Because you talk about, right at the beginning, you talk about a communist Christianity paradigm. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think you referenced America, and in terms of where both of us sit, if you listen to, we had some conferences recently where friends of the show and friends of yours, Ken Michael, Mondo Gonzalez, Tom Hughes came over last year, but not this year. And when they examined the spiritual landscape of Australia, they thought that Australia was well ahead of America in terms of its decline in Christianity. So we probably wouldn't disagree with that. I think we've felt that from a spiritual point of view in Australia, that things have been shifting pretty rapidly. When I talk about a communist Christianity paradigm, I think in most Western nations now, we're used to seeing a left-right paradigm, and that's certainly true of America. Australia is a little bit different. We don't necessarily have the left-right paradigm, but certainly we can see as ministry leaders a communist Christianity paradigm, which fundamentally at its core is left and right, but it's more noticeable in the fact that we are really moving into a communist footprint rather than being known as a Christian nation.
That's right.
And you had Trevor Loudon on the show recently, and he, I haven't read his book, but I'm interested in it because, as you know, he did a deep dive into our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, who has a very long history with the communist principles.
That's right.
And so as a nation, we've re-elected him. Now, I didn't vote for him, and many of the people I know didn't vote for him because we know what he stands for. But as one of the reviewers of Trevor's book said, if more Australians read that book, then I don't think he would have been re-elected.
Mm-mm.
But I think part of the problem, though, David, is that a lot of people don't know what communism is. They don't understand what Marxism is or what socialism is. And that was highlighted by the fact that we've had a poll in the last couple of years where 40% of Australians overall now support socialism. And so that rises to about half in the 18 to 34-year-old category.
Yep.
And so, and as of last year, when they took these polls again, 53% of 18 to 24-year-olds want more socialism. So we're definitely heading in that direction in terms of where people want to see the nation going. But you and I know that as socialism, Marxism, and communism increases within a population, Christianity declines.
That's right.
Because more and more people are attracted to a government which acts as a nanny state and ostensibly wants to put itself in the position of God and nanny. So this is, I think, why I describe it as a communist Christianity paradigm in this nation at the moment.
Okay, so let's clarify something. Socialism is a necessary step towards communism. We've got a lot of people here in the States that are now saying the quiet part out loud. I'm a Democrat socialist. I mean, sure. Yeah, so they're socialist. By the way, look back at when Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump and how many young people went for Bernie Sanders and were openly supporting socialism. And you say something very interesting, Dean. You say nearly half of young people demand more socialism but don't know what it means. Do you attribute that to the education system in Australia? Because that's what we do over here. It's the K through 12 and the universities. They don't. They can't explain it. They can't defend it. They can't really. They just get upset. And they know what they know what they're fighting for, but they can't really articulate. Your thoughts?
100%. I put that at the feet of the education system. So the stats were back in 2019. They said 28% of young people polled admitted that they didn't know what socialism was. They did not know how to define socialism. And the laughable thing was that another 13% thought that socialism was about being more sociable. So you've got nearly half of young people. You can see the placards out on the street. We want more socialism. We don't know what it is or how to define it, but we want it. It
That's
sounds
so sad.
Ridiculous. It is, but you're absolutely right. And we have a growing homeschooling part of our education system in Australia, but it's still probably frowned upon. And so I think it's still growing. I think people are still seeing an increasing need for a good homeschooling program within Australia, but it's very fragmented amongst all of the states. So hopefully within the homeschooling sector, they're really drilling down on some of these things, because as you can see, it's very important, not only for the spiritual health of a nation, but also fundamentally for the financial health of a nation, because we know that wherever communism has been introduced into a nation, that nation has not succeeded whatsoever.
That's right. That's right. And I want to clarify something from your article. And by the way, friends, you can find all of Dean's writings over at harbingersdaily.com if you go to Dean's page there. But you said that in the socialist worldview, humanism replaced God as the great architect of history. And then you talk about a census going back about almost 5 years that 44% of Australians identified with Christianity, but it sounds good. But let's talk about that word identified, because as you know, sometimes, Dean Dwyer, we've got to put Christian or Christianity in air quotes when you're talking about what people believe. They might not really be Christian. Go ahead and share your thoughts on that.
Amen. Now, I know, I think in America, if I say Chino, then you might immediately think of pants. But Chino, we have an acronym which is Christian in name only. And I think that's a defining problem, not only in Australia, but it also is throughout the world as well. And
that's right.
Yeah. Amen. And so
here,
this is
America.
Where they got to in terms of some of this polling was that they, in the poll, 44% of Australians identified with Christianity. But when they went, that when they were asked if they are Christian, all of a sudden it's only 34% who say that they are Christian. So there's 10% of people who might identify with Christianity but don't consider themselves a Christian. So we can explain that by saying, well, maybe they've been raised in a family, maybe they went to a Christian school, but we know that identifying as a Christian is not the same as being one, and more importantly, being saved through Jesus Christ. So that was pretty eye-opening to me, that there's a good proportion of people who probably don't understand the nature of Christianity if they think that being identified is around the same thing as being a Christian.
That's right. Can you explain something real quick, something fascinating from what you sent me about the demographic of recently widowed, 22%, over 55, 16%. Recently separated and divorced, 14%. This is a lot of people, a lot of adults. And then you say nearly every church might have an active youth ministry, but they don't necessarily minister to these adults that were recently widowed and whatnot. So can you share a little bit more about that? That's interesting to me.
This was from a faith report released just recently in Australia. These come out semi-regularly, which is really helpful for ministry leaders because it allows us to see what's really going on when people answer questions honestly. So this was the question around who had moved on average from no religion to Christianity. And so overall, there was a shift from people who identified with no religion and then became identified with Christianity, that overall that was 11%. But when you break that down into some of those key demographic areas, then all of a sudden we see recently widowed, that average goes up to 22%. 55 and over, 16%. Mm-hmm. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, 15%. And the recently separated or divorced, 14%. So I think that what that indicates is that people who have had a major life change or people who are getting older probably start to think or reflect on their life a little bit more and are searching. So the comment I made was that we specifically target the youth, and we should continue to do that because we know that the youth are bombarded with various messages from the world which are unhelpful, unholy, and unrighteous. But what the Faith Report indicates is that we should really be putting work into some of those other key demographic areas because these people are searching. And so we've never had in many churches a program for the recently widowed or the 55 and over or right. the recently separated or divorced. So it instructs us as ministry leaders that, hey, people are searching, not just in their youth, but also at other various stages of their life. So it's important for us to be able to volitionally target some of those demographics with the hope of the gospel.
So before we take a break, let's talk about the youth in America. And is this different? Because I was looking at the numbers of church attendance, Gen Z, Gen Y, Gen X. In America, I think we really kind of missed the boat as far as we, meaning the biblical church in America, which is a minority, the remnant church in America. We missed the boat when it comes to reaching millennials and that generation. And then now the generation after them, I guess that would be Generation Z, Gen Z. It seems like there's a spike in interest in faith and spiritual things. There's more seekers. There's more young people really wanting truth, really wanting to find something that's real. And I'm seeing some of that, Dean, on college campuses, articles I'm reading about, not necessarily revivals, but there's athletes on college campuses that are doing baptisms and they're preaching the gospel. They're getting people saved. I'm going, whoa. First of all, they're allowing that, which is amazing to me with the intolerance of the biblical worldview here in America on campuses. But there's more young people that are instigating this. Is there something similar in Australia?
Unfortunately, not necessarily. Not that we see en masse. Certainly not within our university systems. Within our churches, somewhat different. I think that's what people are looking for and what you describe in America. I think the majority would say that they're looking for authenticity. Mm. And I think this has become a problem for the modern church because there's a lot of style over substance. And I think this is why a lot of people are moving away from Christianity as well. Mm-hmm. We can talk about the stats where people move into Christianity, but it's almost double the proportion of those leaving Christianity. So, and I think that's because we have, some churches have prioritized style over substance. And you go back to the early church. Now, these are people who prioritized substance over style. I mean, they didn't have the three-piece suits. They didn't have the jets. They didn't have the million-dollar smiles or the big mega churches. They had the scars of faith. And so when they talked to people, then people could relate to them because they were authentic. They were genuine. They could see that they came from the same place as they did and were able to speak hope into their lives because they came from the same persecution. So I think that instead of seeing the style of Christianity, people want to see the scars of Christianity. Mm. And
it's real.
That's exactly right. So people are looking for something that's authentic. And I think that is what the young people are looking for. At least that's what I'm hearing, is they want the authenticity. So to do that, to give them that, sometimes I think we've got to do, or the modern church has to do away with the flashy part of Christianity and just get back to the substance and speak into the people's lives and let them know there is real hope in Christianity, not just a show.
Oh, man, you had me at style over substance. And sadly, that is what we see way too much of in the modern church. But we've got to take a brief pause. We're with Dean Dwyer, Iser Street Baptist Church, Toowoomba, Australia. You can find more at harbingersdaily.com. We'll be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
All right, friends, now we're going to take a very interesting turn. And Dean, you mentioned the occult in Australia, opening the arms of the occult. Now we're talking churches, we're talking Christianity, but when you start putting things like style or entertainment over substance and equipping the saints, there are a lot of problems, and a lot of people can get the wrong information. So you say, let's talk about celebrity endorsements. You say those are, many are sleepwalking into the occult because celebrities are leading the way and not necessarily biblical pastors. Explain that a bit more, please.
I have a saying that the back door of Christianity is leading to the front door of the occult. And it goes back to what I said prior to the break, in that because people are looking for something that's authentic and real and powerful in their lives, they're turning away from Christianity, which again prioritizes the style over substance, and they're turning to the occult, which we might have various ideas on what the occult is. People think it's about black-caped Satanists meeting in underground lairs, but the occult is everywhere. It's pervasive. It's in TV shows, it's in movies, it's in art, literature, music. So people are looking for something which is going to impact their lives directly. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are finding this in the occult. And I get a sense, a growing sense amongst ministry leaders. There was one person interviewed not long ago. Now, he feels this is going to be the key area for ministry leaders that we need to be able to deal with and explain and warn about the dangers of the occult, because people are going to seek it more and more in their lives, sometimes very innocently, sometimes just out of curiosity. But Satan uses the celebrity cult as the old bait and switch. So he gets people to look at the lives of celebrities, the success of celebrities, and tries to convince people that, hey, you too can have that if only you will follow the same type of methodology. And one of that is to be able to be deeply involved in the occult, which is through various means, mediumship, divination, tarot cards, manifestation. Yeah. We talked about manifestation last time I was on the show, and obviously Oprah's endorsement of various things through Eckhart Tolle, Rhonda Byrne, through The Secret. So that's why I call it Satan's bait and switch strategy, because he tries to lure, and he does, he lures people into this celebrity cult through thinking they too can have the same lifestyle as celebrities, but he just drags them along. They find that they don't have the same success, but they still wander into the same darkness as many celebrities as well. So I think it's a growing problem in Christianity, and I don't know that it's addressed enough. And that's why Harbingers have published, I think, four articles to date. There's a fifth one coming out very soon, where I start to address a lot of these issues within the occult, explaining exactly what it is, peeling back the layers and the misunderstandings, just to truly examine what it is and why God speaks so strongly against it. And I'll also be going into a sermon series very shortly as well, just to try and highlight some of these things and warn people why they should not be involved in any of these practices.
It's amazing. You wouldn't think you would have to tell Christians this if they knew their Bibles, if they read the Old Testament and the New Testament. But anyway, there's been an occult invasion. There's been an explosion of things like Wicca and witchcraft, thanks in part to the Harry Potter brand and many, many more, and video games and all these dark things. But I want to go back to something that you wrote about. I didn't realize in Britain, I should check the universities in America, but you can get a master's degree in magic and occult science. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that degree?
Well, it costs $34,000, so I think the
Jeez.
first thing you need to do is just try and make your money materialize again. But this is the ridiculous nature. Again, we go back to the education system. I mean, traditionally, you would go to university to learn a trade or to learn something in a field which is able to help your community. And so when we look at, a degree in magic and occult science, I mean, it sounds laughable and it sounds worthless, and it should be, because really all you're suggesting is that you're going to use the supernatural to contact the demonic world, which is really what the occult is. It's relying on a supernatural force. It's looking for mysterious, hidden, or secret knowledge, but that's obtained through the demonic world. So, look, for anyone who wants to sign up to that type of university degree, not only I think are you wasting an extraordinary amount of money, what you're doing as well is you're leading into some very dark forces, which are not going to be good for your life. So I think that the problem, though, that we find is that, going back to why people are heading out the back door of Christianity into the front door of the occult, is that the occult is very much focused on self. And so this is why it appeals to the majority of people, because there's a lot of narcissism in our world today. So it's a counterfeit of divine revelation. So this is Satan's counterfeit system, so that in the religion of self, this is where you obtain your divine revelation in order to support your religion of self. And so this is why celebrities love it, because we know that a lot of them are narcissistic. And this is why a lot of ordinary people love it as well, because it really focuses on self. What can I get? What knowledge can I get? How can I make my life better? And so this is why people are attracted to it. But again, as I said, it leans into the demonic world.
So let's talk briefly. We've had Jen Nisa on, former psychic medium, and the U.S. is it the U.S. psychic services industry valued at $2.3 billion? That's just in the U.S.
Yep, absolutely right. So look, God very clearly warns against occultic practices, Deuteronomy 18. Now, I know that was under the law and we're under grace, but the principle remains the same because of the origins of the occult. I mean, you're not deriving power or knowledge from God through the Holy Spirit. You are fundamentally turning to Satan and the demonic world in order to try and garner information. And so it's a warning that's gone largely unheeded. And so, as you said, 2.3 billion in the US alone, and that would be multiplied many times over if you look at those who use occultic practices throughout the world. And again, that's, as Jen Nisa often speaks about, that's as simple as something like going to a medium or a tarot card reader or going to a manifestation coach. I mean, people might be shocked at just how pervasive occult practices are, but how simple it is to stumble into them as well. We appreciate the work of Jen Nisa and Melissa Doherty and Doreen Virtue and people like that who have come out of that world and are able to speak very clearly into why it's so wrong. And these are the voices we really need in Christianity. And we really need, I'd encourage fellow pastors to really touch on these things. They're not pleasant to touch on or speak from the pulpit, but I think it's really important so that people are equipped to be able to recognize and stay away from.
There's a lot of people, there's a lot of things that people get lured into, or just habits people start forming. Checking your daily, what is it, astrological sign or whatever,
That's right.
yoga, Hinduism, things like that can be subtle, but they're deception. So pastors do need to warn about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, I just recently wrote an article which might appear at Harbinger's Daily very soon, but it was about some of the Cold War tactics that were used by the Soviets, and they were using yoga. Not a lot of people know that in the Yoga Sutras, serious yoga practitioners, their aim is to increase their psychic power. So this is why yoga is used. People think it's just all stretching. We know that there's some of those poses are to Hindu gods, but it's also about trying to contact or bring to the consciousness those psychic powers. And so, very strange to read some of those old CIA reports and see that the Soviets were really trying to use this as a battlefield advantage back through the Cold War.
Okay, we're already down to 3 minutes, Dean Dwyer. I do want to mention people need to look up Edgar Cayce, C-A-Y-C-E. I didn't hear about this guy, and you shared some very interesting things about him and the sleeping prophet and all that. So Edgar Cayce, will that be in your upcoming article?
That was touched on in a recent one, so that will be at Harbinger's Daily. Okay. So great. He pronounces his name Cayce, Edgar Cayce. One of America's most famous psychics. So anyone in the psychic service industry will know his name. The Sleeping Prophet, he's called the Sleeping Prophet because apparently he was able to diagnose medical issues while in a trance-like or sleep-like state. So very strange.
Okay, let's wrap it up by talking about perseverance. You and I in our personal lives can both testify to the fact that this is an important principle, biblical principle, endurance and perseverance. And you mentioned Hebrews 12:2, where Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And go ahead and share whatever you'd like in the last couple minutes, brother.
I think that in this age in particular, we know that we are in the end times. And so we know that that's going to take a degree of perseverance just by itself. But I think the propensity sometimes is that as we see these faith reports and we see people leaving the back door of Christianity and we see the great gains that programs like communism and socialism and Marxism make and see people turning to nature-based religions and even occult practices, I think sometimes that might get us down. I think sometimes that might wear us down so that it becomes harder to persevere, not only through some of the shifting parts of the spiritual landscape. We know the spiritual warfare is very real, and we've got our own troubles and trials and afflictions as well. So this is where I think it's an undertaught part of Christianity as well, the necessary part of perseverance. And I think that for people, when you talk about perseverance, they might think that that is just digging deep and we just got to dig deep and try and get through on our own strength. But that's certainly not biblical perseverance. And so we know that the great paradox of Christianity is that we've got to make a volitional decision to be very engaged in our faith in terms of how we choose day to day to live. But we can only do that through 100% reliance on the Holy Spirit. And so this is the paradox of it, that we've got to choose it, but we don't have the strength to be able to choose it or carry it out. And so we know, I know your story, David, you know mine, and for any other Christian as well, things are tough. And so we don't dispute that, but the Bible has the answers. And within that is perseverance. And perseverance in some of the Greek language had a military context, that if you were a soldier, that you would hold the line no matter what the cost. That is biblical perseverance. And that is my encouragement to all people. Hold the line no matter what the cost. You will be rewarded in the Father's kingdom.
Amen. Great way to end, brother. Thank you, soldiers of Christ. So at harbingersdaily.com, scroll down in the left-hand column, and Dean Dwyer is right between Ken Ham and Tony Perkins. Great people to be among. Brother, thanks for your time today. We'll do this again.
Always a privilege. Thanks, David.
God bless you, friends, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.